If you have a Bible app on your phone, you can turn it to Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. May the Lord bless to our reading, or to our understanding, the reading of His holy word. There's this great story about a little girl who was wandering through a toy store one day. And she came across one of those old clown punching balloons. And she had never seen one before. So she looked at it for a moment and then she just hauled off and hit the thing right in the nose. And over it went, but it popped right back up. And it surprised the little girl. So she hit it again. Down it went and it came back up again. And Dad was watching. And so he asked, "Sweetheart, do you know why the clown keeps popping back up?" And she thought a minute. She said, "I don't know. Maybe he's standing up on the inside." Wow. What an awesome image of the kind of people God has called us to be. People who are standing up on the inside. People you can count on. People who do the right thing, even if nobody else is watching. People of true character. People who bear good fruit in their lives. Our world needs people of true character. When society loses its moral compass, standards decay, and the world is robbed of character. Deep down inside, we want to do what is right. We know we ought to exhibit true character. It just seems to happen so very rarely. The good news is that our God is in the business of building character. Each one of us is created in the image of God. Male and female, we have all been created in God's image. And God has created us to be people of character. People who stand up on the inside. People who bear the good fruit of the kingdom of heaven. So this morning, I want to reflect for a bit on how that can happen. Before we get into it, though, let's pause for a moment and pray together. Let us pray. God Almighty, you have created us in your image and likeness to be partners with you as you rule the earth to do what is great and good and glorious for all people. As we gather together today, Lord, we pray that you will open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to understand how we can be the people you have created us to be. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus and his first disciples spent quite a lot of time outside. And Jesus often used objects from nature to teach people about their relationship with God. He talked about birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field. He talked about going fishing, growing crops. In the passage we read just a few minutes ago from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talked about trees and fruit. Jesus was not so much giving a value statement on the nature of trees as he was saying something that seems kind of obvious. Some trees bear fruit you can eat and some trees don't. Apples come from apple trees. Pears come from pear trees. Tomatoes come from tomato plants. They don't come from rose bushes. And you know the kind of tree by the fruit that it bears. In the same way, you know people by how they behave, by the things they actually do. And Jesus spent his entire earthly ministry trying to show people how they can bear the good fruit of the kingdom of heaven. He wanted people to know that character is something that comes from God. And God builds character into the lives of his people in several ways. One of the ways that God builds character into his people's lives is by proving faithfulness. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, God proves that he is faithful in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, because of what we have become, we cannot step toward God. So in his great love and mercy, God has come to us. God has reached down and captured our hearts with his love and proved to us that we can trust him. Read a story one time about this young fellow from Florida who was visiting some friends up in Minnesota one winter. Go figure. Anyway, one afternoon, he decided that he wanted to go out and walk on one of the nearby lakes. Now, he was from Florida, so he had never seen a frozen lake before. So he approached it with a great deal of care. And he kind of stepped out lightly on his tiptoe and tested the ice, and he very gently put his foot down, and he stayed very, very close to the shore as he eased his way around. And all of a sudden, he heard this huge roar, and he looked up, and he noticed this farmer driving his tractor right across the middle of the lake. And all of a sudden, he realized how silly it was for him to be tiptoeing along the shoreline when this guy's driving his tractor out across the middle of it. You see, the farmer knew the ice, and he trusted it. The young guy from Florida didn't know the ice. He didn't trust it. God has proved over and over again that he is trustworthy. 4,000 years ago, God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would become this huge nation with lots and lots of people. Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. And they were old. Older than anybody here this morning. They were well past the age when folks can have children. And it seemed to be an impossible promise. Yet, God delivered, and here we are. 2,000 years ago, God once again proved his faithfulness through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ Jesus our Lord. God proved how far he is willing to go to capture us with his love. And when we start to build our lives on that kind of dependable God, we start to develop trust and confidence, a lot like that farmer had trust and confidence in the ice to drive his tractor out across it. And with that confidence and trust in our hearts, God can begin to develop character. We bear the good fruit of the kingdom of God in our lives because God proves that he is faithful. Second way that God builds character into the lives of his people is by actually demonstrating that he cares. In 1 Peter, the Bible says, put your anxiety upon God because he cares about you. God isn't content to just sit back and wait for us to develop some kind of understanding about God's faithfulness. God comes to us when we need God the most, and he provides us with what we need. Heard about this man who needed $200 to keep his rescue mission open. And so he started praying day after day that God would somehow give him the $200 that he needed. Well, one day a friend overheard his prayer and he said, hey, why don't you ask God to open your eyes to the fact that he's already given you the money you need? And the man said, hey, don't you think I would know if I had $200? So he kept praying over and over again. And finally, one day, he decided to give it a try. He said, okay, God, open my eyes to see how you've already given me $200. So when his prayer time was over, he got up, he went to the window in his office, and he was just kind of staring out into space when all of a sudden he noticed some men picking some things up off the ground, and he noticed for the very first time these two huge pecan trees growing in his backyard. They had been on his property the whole time, and he had never noticed them. He went out, harvested the pecans, and sold them for over $200. God had already provided everything he needed. Because our God has proved that he's faithful, because our God cares for us and has promised to provide us with everything we need, not always the things we think we want, but all the things we need, God develops character within us and helps us bear the good fruit of the kingdom of heaven. A third way that God builds character in the lives of his people is by giving them what some people have called a yes heart. In his second letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said that in Christ, the answer is never yes and no. The answer is always yes. Lutheran pastor named Tim Wright tells a story, a true story about this whole concept. Turns out this young couple had just brought their baby home from the hospital. Mama was taking a nap, and daddy was looking over the crib, and he said hello to his new baby girl. She didn't respond. So he picked up a rattle, started to shake it, and she still didn't respond. He got worried, and so he started to clap his hands. The baby didn't move. So he ran into the bedroom, woke his wife up. What's he thinking? But he woke his wife up and said, our baby, I think, has a hearing problem. And she said, look, brand new babies don't have all of their senses fully developed. I think she's going to be fine. Don't worry. He wouldn't let it go. So she went over to the bookshelf, picked up a baby book, opened it up, and read the part where it said, newborn infants frequently do not respond to sound. It may take several days for them to do so. Now, she said, don't you feel better? No, he said. My grandmother was deaf, and if my daughter has inherited that, I will feel guilty for the rest of my life. So they went ahead and made an appointment with a pediatrician, but it wasn't for like 2 weeks. And for 2 weeks, this brand new father was completely tied up in knots. You know, he worried about what life was going to be like with a deaf child. He wondered what kind of future she could possibly have. He imagined her life completely cut off in isolation from the rest of the world. For 2 weeks, he was in absolute and total fear. So the day of the appointment arrived. The pediatrician made a thorough examination, turned to the young father and said, "Your daughter is fine." He had spent 2 weeks in completely unfounded fear. Reverend Wright describes that as a no heart. A no heart focuses on the problems, sees the impossibilities of life. A no heart says, "I can't, I don't have enough." It's too afraid to take any risks at all, and it misses out on all the joy of life. A yes heart, on the other hand, sees the faithfulness of God, focuses on the possibilities of life, sees life from God's perspective, and knows the confidence of and trust of knowing that God is in control. Because God develops yes hearts in His people, because God proves Himself trustworthy, because God truly and deeply cares for us, we can have the kind of character that God created us to have from the very beginning. Back in March, I showed this picture. I hope you can see it. I showed this picture to the elders at the first session meeting that I attended. This is actually a picture of the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem. This is the place where Jesus prayed the night before He was killed. Now, it doesn't look exactly the same anymore, but it's the same place. Gethsemane actually comes from the Hebrew phrase Gadshmanim, and it literally means olive press. These are olive trees. Yes, the Garden of Gethsemane is the original olive garden. Took a minute, didn't it? There are some people who speculate that some of these trees may be as much as 2,000 years old. Now, they weren't there with Jesus on the night He prayed, because Roman soldiers came to Jerusalem and cut down all the trees in and around the city when they destroyed it in 70 AD. But some people say some of these olive trees actually grew back from the roots of those trees that were left behind. Okay? Because olive trees are very vast. They have very vast and hardy root systems. And they grow down very deeply and tap into water sources that enable them to endure very harsh environmental conditions. And while some people don't care for olives too much, olives have been a staple in Mediterranean diets for millennium. Their fruit is good, and they stand as strong symbols of the resilience God instills into the lives of His people. So over the next few weeks, during our times together on Sunday morning in our summer schedule, we're going to be taking a look, a very close look, at the fruit the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ brings into the lives of God's people. It is my hope and my prayer that as we consider the fruit of the Spirit, our eyes will begin to open to the vision that God has, not only for us as individuals, but for our lives together as Kirkwood Presbyterian Church. So I invite you and I encourage you to come as much as you can as we begin to see what God has in mind for us here in this place. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, You have such a wonderful vision in mind for us, not only as individuals, but as Your church here at Kirkwood. Lord, as we worship You, as we praise You, as we think and consider all the many things that You are doing within us and among us, that you will lead us to see the direction you are calling us to go. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.